and improve our schools, a battle to protect life and our Second Amendment. There's also another battle, a battle who created 24,000 jobs, a battle who improved education, a battle who believes in our conservative values. Tommy Battle. Tommy Battle grew up in Birmingham, graduated from the University of Alabama, moved to Huntsville where he built a business and raised a family. As mayor, Tommy Battle has made Huntsville an economic juggernaut, improving education and training, bringing in thousands of jobs with companies like Remington, Polaris, and Toyota. Now, Tommy Battle is running for governor, ready to bring that same energy and record of success to our state that he brought to Huntsville. Alabama's a great state, but it can be even better. All we need is a battle to lead us. Tommy Battle for governor. Paid for by Tommy Battle, P.O. Box 2072, Huntsville 35804.
At Advance Auto Parts, we offer you the quality parts you want and knowledge you need to help get you back on the road. And we're always looking for ways to help you save. Right now, get CarQuest conventional motor oil for just $2.96 a quart. Talk about an amazing price. Plus, find great prices on CarQuest's full line of motor oil. Go to Advance or participating CarQuest Auto Parts stores to take advantage of this great offer while it lasts. Advance Auto Parts, where oil is priced like it should be.
She's been my support for 53 years, my better half from the moment we met. And now that it's my turn to be the better half, it's good to know there's help.
If you need help caring for someone you love, Kindred may be the answer. Kindred Services can provide you with nursing visits, medications, equipment, medical supplies, and more. If you have questions about home health, hospice, or care after a hospital stay, call Kindred and speak with a registered nurse. See how we can help. 1-866-KINDRED.
Now, coming up in a moment, folks, by the way, this is Joey Clark, and you are listening already to the Joey Clark Radio Hour. In a few minutes, we will have on the president of the Foundation for Economic Education, Larry Reed, the man himself. We'll be talking about socialism. No, not the ABCs of socialism, but the XYZs, the consequences of what happens when you go down the road of socialism, maybe just a little bit, or all the way, like in the case of North Korea, or God forbid, Stalinism. So that is going to be a great discussion. I think it is a discussion for conservatives out there, libertarians out there, young and old. And if you are maybe a Bernie Sanders supporter, and you think there are way too many choices in this country, no, but in all seriousness, if you are a Bernie bro, or you kind of got caught up in the Bernie craze, I think you'll also want to listen to this interview with Larry Reed. It is going to be an enriching time. So we will get to him in just one moment. But first, I want to tell you folks about, well, a guy I've been telling you about over the last few weeks. His name is Eddie Bader with the Goodson Group. Now, Eddie has been helping me personally, and he can help you personally if you just reach out and give him a call at 322-0662. Again, that number is 322-0662. Because if you're thinking about buying a home in this market, you're thinking the right way. There are incredible homes for sale all over the River Region, and Eddie Bader can help you walk through that process smoothly. Even if you might be a first-time buyer and you're ignorant of the process, this is why you call somebody like Eddie Bader. And he, in fact, gave me a little note today. He said, there's this great ready-to-move-in. That's what you need to always look for, a ready-to-move-in house. It's at 231 Forest Hills Drive. Again, 231 Forest Hills Drive. It's great for a first-time home buyer. A three-bedroom, one-bath, located in a great school system in Dalreda. You can get it with no down payment or a low down payment. I mean, fenced-in yard, carpeted, and it's a great investment property for long-term wealth accumulation. Could generate over $800 a month in rent if that's what you wanted to do. So again, give Eddie Bader a call. Don't just take my word for it. Get to know Eddie. 322-0662. 322-0662. You might think, why do I need this? I can just look online. Looking online does not do a home justice. And you might find when you actually get there, those fancy pictures online, well, you didn't notice the fleas. There's all sorts of things you need to check out. And Eddie has given me quite the education on this process. So again, give him a call, 322-0662. Coming up as promised, Larry Reed, president for the Foundation for Economic Education.
Better prices, bigger savings. Brubaker Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Montgomery and Prattville has it all. This week, get up to $12,000 in total savings off new 2018 Ram 1500 Bighorns in stock. Or during the Jeep Celebration event, get up to $6,000 in total savings off new 2017 Jeep Wranglers in stock. Plus, all trade-ins are welcome in any condition, even high mileage and damaged vehicles. And with a job bringing home $350 weekly, we can get almost anyone approved. All trade-ins are welcome. Quick, easy credit approval. Up to $12,000 in total savings off new 2018 Ram 1500 Bighorns in stock. Up to $6,000 in total savings off new 2017 Jeep Wranglers in stock. Only at Brubaker Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram on the Eastern Boulevard in Montgomery and Cobbs Ford Road in Prattville, or online at Brubaker.com.
I'm Dick Brubaker, and I approve this ad.
Must finance through Chrysler Capital. Stock numbers R8040 and J7371, plus tax, tag, title, dock, and destination fees. All rebates and incentives to dealer. Negative equity refinanced. Offers don't combine.
Glass. We literally take glass for granted. Just think about it. Every day we get in our cars, head out for the day, and do we ever say, thank you, glass? Thank you for keeping the bugs out of my mouth. Thank you for keeping the rain out. Thank you, glass, for just being glass. And besides having glass to protect us and keep us comfortable, glass can also be used to decorate your house, place of worship, or even your storefront. So do yourself a favor and call Independent Glass at 263-2823. That's 263-2823. Or contact them online at independentglassco.com. Independent Glass, where you should go for home, commercial, or auto glass needs.
Hey folks, Dave Ramsey here. If you're looking for a great dentist, I want you to know that I trust Smile Makers. The doctors over at Smile Makers continue to raise the bar when it comes to dentistry. People are coming from all over to get a same day smile. You heard me. You can get a complete smile makeover in one day. Whether it's the result of bad genetics, a bad decision, or just some bad luck, missing teeth can keep you from enjoying the life you deserve. At Smile Makers, you have options. Not only do they perform same-day smiles, but they also offer life-changing dental implants. When you're in need of complex dental work, I recommend the doctors at Smile Makers in Montgomery. Folks, experience and technology matter. Give Smile Makers a call today for a free consultation or a second opinion. 334-269-8086. That's 334-269-8086. Online at SmileMakersAL.com. And tell them Dave sent you.
Right now, buy Ortho's Home Defense Insect Killer with Wand at the Home Depot and get a free refill. Good news for you. Final notice for bugs. Home Defense kills bugs where they live, where you live, and prevents new ones from moving in, all for up to 12 months. Remember, it's your house. You make the rules. Get a free refill when you purchase Ortho Home Defense with Wand at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Limit 2 per customer, in-store only. Selection varies by store.
This is it. This is the last conversation you'll ever have.
Who are you?
The CIA's best operative.
And I'm the only person who can help you. But you're gonna have to help me. Where is the prince?
Teams up with SEAL Team 6.
I want my own assault team.
I did a snatch with her in Bosnia. We don't want to see her again.
This is my op, you're my shooters. We're after the same thing.
What is that?
Payback.
Olivia Munn joins the cast of 6. New season, Memorial Day at 10, 9 Central on History.
Rich Thomas Weather, brought to you by Wiley Sanders Trucking. Now offering a $1,000 sign-on bonus, great driver's pay package, and quarterly safe driving awards. Apply now at WileySanders.com.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. Tropical moisture still flowing into the state, and rain chances is getting better and better over the next 2 or 3 or 4 days. For this evening and tonight, the risk of scattered showers and thunderstorms will continue. Overnight low temperature in the upper 60s. Tomorrow and Thursday, showers and thunderstorms likely from time to time, high in the middle 80s. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, scattered showers and thunderstorms. As usual, the best chance will be in the afternoon and evening hours, with highs in the mid to upper 80s each day, lows at night in the upper 60s. Our weather app keeps you on top of weather changes all the time. Push notifications for severe weather alert instantly wherever you are. Go to the App Store and search Rich Thomas Weather. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Hi, this is Brett Lanham with Benjamin Moore New Look. Come down May 12th through the 18th to claim your free tiny tryout and be entered in for your chance to win 5 gallons of premium interior paint. Free sample and entry for free paint. Benjamin Moore New Look. We make it simple. You make it beautiful.
Your News Talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show, noon till 3. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Hold on to your butt.
I'm quite surprised that
a story had such an immediate and profound effect upon radio listeners.
Hooey pleases the boobs a great deal more than sense.
Woe is us! We're in a lot of trouble!
In politics, man must learn to rise above principle.
What the hell are we doing here?
We are behaving the way a superpower ought to behave.
Well, our behavior has produced some crappy results.
What we're witnessing now is the failure of the state. It is a death struggle for our republic.
Giving voice to liberty in our time.
And if that's not loving me,
oh, welcome, folks.
Then all I gotta say,
song of the day is The Temptations covering Little Green Apples.
Mm-hmm. God didn't make the little green apples. It don't rain in Indianapolis in the summer.
And as promised, my guest this evening is the president. The Foundation for Economic Education. He's been working with the Foundation for Economic Education for quite some time. We affectionately call it FEE, shortened. Larry Reed is with me on the phone. Larry, how are you this evening?
Hey, just terrific, Joey. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. And first thing, I played this song and I thought of this song, Little Green Apples, because I want to start with more the positive take. We're here tonight to really talk about the consequences of a socialist policy. But in one of your essays, I believe about does the economy need more central planning, you talk about our lack of wonder maybe in this world and how we take for granted the amazing things going on around us. And for some reason it brought to mind that song about all, you know, whether it's man-made or nature. And that essay really spoke to me about we're coming from a very positive place about human liberty. And so when you see somebody advocating socialism, it's either that person might be dabbling with evil or they're just well-intentioned and they're not seeing how complex this beautiful world is.
That's right. It's an incredibly complex world. And when you think of it, it's all the more remarkable that so many good things that we take for granted have come about not because somebody at the top is issuing orders to make them happen, but rather through the spontaneous interaction of people who are simply pursuing their own self-interest, but in the process are serving the interests of so many others. Just think of the coffee that you're either drinking now or had this morning. Nobody ordered someone to grow coffee or to harvest it. Nobody would be imprisoned if they stopped doing that. And yet it somehow ends up all the way from places like Brazil. It's the magic of the marketplace of people working spontaneously for their own self-interest and in the process serving others at the same time.
Well, and let's make clear, self-interest, and I kind of can't stand this movie for that, the Gordon Gekko greed is good. That's not really what we're advocating, and in fact, that's usually the shoes on the other foot with the accusations of greed.
Yeah, you look at what socialists advocate, at least in regard to the redistribution of wealth, they're the ones always talking about money. They're the ones who are always talking about wanting to take it. They think money is everything, and if they just have more of it, even at the point of a gun, and so they can redistribute it, that the world will be a better place. But I have to tell you, I know entrepreneurs by the hundreds over the years, people who've started businesses, who are every day taking risks, employing people, building things, and they are often written off by socialists as just greedy people who want to sit around and play with their pile of gold coins. But I can tell you, virtually every single one I've ever known went into business because of the challenge of assuming risk, of building something, of creating wealth, of satisfying the desires, the needs, the wants of other people. And they get fulfillment not so much from the wealth that they generate for themselves through the payment by customers, but rather for the sheer thrill of building something, creating something.
Yes, and folks, I want to now shift to the book itself, The XYZs of Socialism. You can find it at fee.org, F-E-E.org. The preface is written by you, Larry, and it kind of lays out the general theme of the book. But this legacy at FEE goes back to the founding, does it not?
Yes, it does. We were founded in 1946 by a wonderful man, Leonard Reed, no relation. He spelled his name differently from me. It's R-E-A-D. And he was our president from 1946 until his passing in 1983. He had the vision of a foundation that would advocate the economics and the morality and all the other important aspects, including personal character, of a free society. And that meant that we were not simply criticizing big government or the unfree societies of communism or various kinds of socialism, but we were advocating and still are a very positive vision of free people as adults interacting with respect for everyone's life and property and contracts and so forth. That's our vision. It's a very positive, optimistic, and uplifting one.
And it is a vision, I think, grounded in deep traditions, religious traditions, commercial traditions. It's not some utopian flight. Now, it's one of my favorite things to read, and it's one of the few socialist things I would claim as a favorite, is Oscar Wilde's The Soul of Man Under Socialism. But the reason I love it and say it's one of my favorites is because it is so fantastical. Wilde kind of gives the game away. He said socialism would free us from the sordid necessity of having to live for others. Like, whoa there, man. You're not giving them a good name. And it's so over the top in his, like, vision. It leads right into a point you make in the book, you make yourself, about really nailing down what socialists mean by socialism to the point where it almost becomes a personal fantasy. It's not something that it's not an easy working definition we can agree on.
That's right. In fact, not even socialists agree on what it is, because you'll notice time and again that socialists will say, well, we finally have it in place here, in XYZ country. And then in no time at all, when it flops, they say, well, no, that wasn't quite what we intended, or the right people didn't get in charge of it. We'll get it right the next time. I mean, they redefine it so that every single failure of it is not really a failure of socialism at all. It's just a failed attempt at it. So, but it really reduces to one or two or all three of the following features. Socialism is either central planning of an economy by a political elite, or it's the forcible redistribution of wealth by that political elite, or it's the state or government ownership of the means of production. Some socialists say, well, it's more of one of those things than another, but it really reduces to some blend of those three. And in any form, however, it's just been a consistent flop throughout history.
Well, and it relies always, and I think this point is brought out in the book as well, and it's one I've often made talking to some of my leftist friends, is that in a free market, in a market, classically liberal, libertarian society, people would be completely free to go live in a humble little commune if you like, where you collectively own a farm or something like that. But that's often not what, say, socialists in modern-day Venezuela are talking about, that there's always force involved.
That's right. I like to say that if it's voluntary, it's not socialism, because if it's voluntary, you can do that under capitalism. So, everywhere socialism is tried, it's obvious from the start that it isn't just the velvet glove. It's the iron fist from within that really determines how it operates. It rests upon force, upon the arrogant view that a handful of people are smart enough or compassionate enough that you can trust them with political power. And if they just push people around and remake society according to their vision, which means to force you to do things that they want you to do, then they can make for a better world. It just doesn't work that way. It's naive, and it ignores the fact that people are not robots to be programmed. We're all different, and to be fully human, each of us has to be as free as possible to be ourselves.
Absolutely. And again, folks, we're talking to Larry Reed, the president of the Foundation for Economic Education. You can find this book we're talking about, great collection of essays on the topic of socialism, the XYZs of socialism, not the ABCs. We hear about the ABCs all the time. Now, Larry, I really want to shift this to some of my personal conversations lately. I had a gentleman on. I like the guy a lot, Brandon. I have him on the show all the time. And we were having this discussion where he said to me, Joey, we're part of the have-nots. The world's made up of haves and have-nots. And because we're radio guys making a very humble salary, we're part of the have-nots. And I kind of just looked at him with incredulity. I don't feel like a have-not. I'm going to go home and eat ribeye tonight after driving my automobile and have, some streaming service on the television. I don't feel impoverished by any way. But this has long been just a mentality. It's almost like the success of markets and the success of capitalism where we have it. It breeds this type of envy that you see the other guy across the country with all the stuff, and instead of going, this is part of why the system is so great, it leads to this almost envious sort of eye.
That's right. I don't know of any occasion in any country in all of history where envy has, if it's been widespread, has led to good things or a positive framework for society. It tends to cause resentment, envy of others, instead of focusing on yourself and ways to improve and to do better. You're focused instead upon dragging somebody else down. And that doesn't get you very far. Socialists think of the world as if it were a fixed pie. And so then they're angry that at any given fleeting moment in time, some people have more than others. But hey, what if we're baking a bigger pie all the time? And what if those who are leading the way in baking a bigger pie are the ones who are taking the risks, employing people, inventing new ways of doing things? They may get ahead, but they're baking a bigger pie, and you and I can do the same. How many stories do we have to have in America, traditionally a free country, of millions of people who had nothing to start with but pulled themselves up and became wealthy? I mean, that's the kind of thing that you want. You want opportunity. You want progress. You want people to have a chance to move up the ladder. But you don't get that if you focus on dragging people down who have climbed the ladder. It just doesn't get you very far.
Well, and I've become confused, and maybe I'm just odd, Larry, but I hear things even like equality of opportunity that gets bandied about by conservatives and progressives. And I hear that phrase, and the only time I ever really want to say equality is equality of freedoms, of rights, equality before the law. When I hear equality of opportunity, I'm like, no, I want an abundance of opportunity. I want as many opportunities as we can create for people in this world.
I think that's right, Joey. That's a very constructive, positive, uplifting and optimistic view of reality. That's the kind of view that will give you incentive to do better and to create wealth and to serve customers. I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah, it's just an odd place I think we are in society, and I kind of want to ask you this point of view. It's a broad question. We can take a big snapshot of the last 10, 20 years here in the United States. We, thank God, are largely still a market society, and much of the developed world that is developed and going strong are market-based societies, even the so-called Nordic models or Scandinavian countries. But when you look at the United States in particular, do you see a creeping socialism in certain policies? And what would you highlight are maybe some of the worst things out there in our country currently?
There certainly has been, for as long as I can remember now, for probably the entirety of the 20th century and now into the 21st, a kind of creeping socialism. And that's the way it typically comes about. Mm. I mean, there have been plenty of occasions when a country has gone from freedom to serfdom overnight because of a foreign invader. But most of the time, if it travels that path, it's gradual, and it's because of what people do to themselves. It's because they increasingly stop working for a living and voting for one, or putting their faith instead of themselves into politicians to deliver them the goods at other people's expense. We've been traveling that path now for decades, and you see it in the form of the very high percentage, it's nearly half now, of the American people who to a considerable degree are dependent upon programs and handouts from government. and you see it in the form of the massive $21 trillion national debt. You see it in the form of runaway spending, even at the peak of a, or near the peak of a economic expansion right now, when you'd think government's deficits would be small, we're going to set a near record again, about almost $1 trillion this year in red ink, because people want more from government than they're willing or even able in some cases to pay.
Yes, and I think it does come back to an issue, and you always are talking about this, and I think rightfully so, an issue of character. And it's strange how my conversations with, say, somebody who's not even a full-blown socialist, maybe they're like Bernie Sanders, but it's more kind of, you know, we like these ideas of taking care of everybody. It comes down to a basic argument, and it's happened to me time and time again, of what are people like in their basic human nature. I tend to have this point of view that you do need a well-developed conscience. You do need to educate and give people worthwhile burdens to carry in their lives to accomplish something. But I think people largely, when given freedom, will look out for one another. Whereas my left-wing friends tend to say, no, you have to have that sword or the whip to get people in line. And have you encountered this mentality? It just seems like that's always what it boils down to. How do people operate in their basic nature?
Yeah, I've seen it in evidence. I've heard it many, many times. It really reduces to a misplaced faith in politics and politicians. Behind it all is the assumption that, well, if you get elected to office, then that suddenly imbues you with some degree of compassion that the people who sent you there don't have. And I just fail to see it. I don't see a single reason to believe that politicians spending other people's money and focused on their own advancement, their own reelection, are going to be more caring and compassionate than things like private institutions, family, community, church, the many ways in which in civil society we take care of one another. Politicians have their own agendas, and at the forefront of their agendas almost always is their own perpetuation in power. Why you would want to trust your livelihood to them and to be dependent upon them is beyond me.
Yes, and I think it comes back to, and you've mentioned, you've put a little addendum, we mentioned last time we talked over a year ago, it's been too long. That it's not only that power corrupts, that power also attracts the corrupted. And I tend to think also that the power in this country has tended to corrupt the people. That it does it to kings, it does it to emperors and to autocrats throughout history and currently in the world. But it seems it also can do it to the people themselves and what they actually advocate for and who they put their trust in.
Absolutely. And the corruption that inevitably comes from the concentration of power and money in government, which is essentially what socialism does, that corruption does its harm throughout society. It feeds on itself. This is one of the most powerful arguments, I think, against socialism that we often overlook. And that is that the bigger government gets, and that's exactly what socialists want. They always want more government. But the bigger it gets, the more corrupt it inherently must become, because you've got this massive redistributive apparatus trying to control other people's lives and buy votes with other people's money. It breeds corruption, and what happens is good people, truly good people of character, increasingly say, I don't want to have anything to do with government. It's dirty business. Why would I drag my name through the mud? So good people increasingly wash their hands of an ever bigger government, and then we end up ultimately, if that isn't reversed, with the worst of both worlds, bad people running big government.
And it's something I've had to come to. I especially started in talk radio and got a degree in politics because I thought it was all about the honest, charitable argument. It was just the logos. And I've learned after doing the radio gig for 6 years is that, no, it's really a fight with words, that it's a competition for power. And when you're really in the thick of the political arena, and this is why I love what y'all do. You're finding people young and maybe people who have found success in life and business as entrepreneurs. And it's not part of this political party's agenda or that political party's agenda. It's more, no, these ideas are fairly universal for all time, and we're going to talk about them any day over at Fee.
That's right. And we encourage what we think are the virtues that drive economic opportunity and progress. Virtues like respect for the lives and the property and the contracts and the choices of other people. Leaving people alone as long as they do no harm to you. The virtues of honesty, being truthful and putting truth on a pedestal as being valuable for its own sake. It means such things as responsibility. In a free society, people have to step up to the plate and take accountability for their actions. You don't subsidize bad behavior or poor judgment, or you'll just get more of it. You mentioned a moment ago character. Really, it all comes down to character. When people ask me, as I hear quite a lot, Mr. E, what do you think is the most important issue in the country? I always say it's character, and it's always been character. Everything hinges upon it. No country has ever lost its character and kept its liberties or kept a sound economy. That's how important it is.
Well, amen to that. And also on that note, and how's this for a segue, folks? We have to hit a quick break. But coming back with Larry Reed, president of the Foundation for Economic Education, I want to talk about Jesus, Larry.
Okay.
Is that allowed? Can we talk about Jesus?
Okay, yeah, we might get sued by somebody.
Well, who owns the trademark on Jesus?
Hopefully it's not the government.
Oh, yeah, we're in a lot of trouble then. So coming back, we're going to talk about Jesus, folks. It's a promise. We'll have a quick break here, and we'll be back with more with Larry Reed.
There's no such thing as Dr. Seuss, Disneyland, Mother Goose, ain't no nursery rhyme.
Joey Clark.
God didn't make the little green apples, and it don't rain in Indianapolis in the summertime.
What do you get with Greg, Rich, Jay, and Emily Hayes? Three men and a lady. Mornings, 6 to 9 on Newstalk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Rhonda Walker on her determination to fight cancer.
I was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer.
Conservative fighter Rhonda Walker.
Throughout the course of my chemotherapy and radiation, I never missed a county commission meeting. I wanted to push through and project normalcy. I wanted to be present in my life.
After months of chemotherapy and 2 surgeries, Rhonda beat cancer.
I wasn't supposed to be diagnosed with cancer at 42 years old. That wasn't supposed to happen, but it did. What am I going to do for the rest of my life? I'm going to lay it on the line. I'm going to give everything I have to my children. I'm going to give everything I have to my marriage. I'm going to give everything I have to my community because I have today.
Rhonda Walker, a conservative fighter for Alabama State Senate.
Paid for by the committee to elect Rhonda Walker, P.O. Box 3403, Montgomery, Alabama, 36109.
United for your comfort.
I'm here with Shane from United, number one in the River Region when it comes to your indoor comfort. Summer is here and I need a new AC.
If your AC is old or broken and you don't know how you're going to pay for a new one, relax. United has financing available with no down payment with approved credit with payments as low as $99 a month.
United even has 0% interest for 36, 48, and 60 months on select systems. Let United give you your best solution with the latest technology and improve your indoor comfort for as little as $99 a month for a complete energy efficient system. They install hundreds of new systems every year.
If the unit is beyond repair, we give free estimates on replacement. And for this month, we would give you a free digital thermostat with a new system. And yes, payments as low as $99 on a new system.
Stop throwing money away on high utility bills and call United today at 262-0247.
Or visit unitedheating.net and check us out on Facebook.
Alabama certification number 84560.
United for your comfort.
Central
Central Alabama weather is unlike any other. That's why you need Jones Brothers. Central Alabama has trusted Jones Brothers for over 70 years for all roofing needs. Whether the weather left you with a single repair or it's time for a new roof, Jones Brothers will make sure the work is done right and you have a roof you'll love for years to come. Wanting to change your existing shingle roof to a beautiful, durable metal roof? Jones Brothers can do it. Call today for a free estimate and visit jbroof.com. Call Jones Brothers. You'll be glad you did.
Hey folks, Bruce Holding with CTE Outdoor Power. Is this your summer for a lawnmower upgrade? If so, come by CTE and check out the full line of Honda self-propelled walk-behind mowers. Now you know that Honda mowers are great, but did you know that CTE has Honda self-propelled mowers on sale starting at only $399? And did you know Honda mowers are backed by the industry's best warranty of up to 5 years? So, why buy your Honda mower, or any mower for that matter, from CTE? Did you know that CTE can double any mower's engine warranty? That's a 10-year warranty on certain Honda models. And we can add 2 years to the mower's warranty. Did you know that when you purchase a mower from CTE, you can get free pickup and delivery and free blade sharpening for as long as you own it? And if your mower visits our service department, you can receive our 7-day repair guarantee. Now, where else offers all that? CTE Outdoor Power, I-85 at Perry Hill Road, and CTEOutdoorPower.com, where for 20 years, we support what we sell.
Ready to be rewarded for your hard work and skill? Fitzgerald Peterbilt is looking to fill multiple positions in the diesel technician field. Paid holidays, 401k, insurance, opportunity for advancement, all sound good to you? Give Fitzgerald Peterbilt a call today at 245-6500 and join their team. Peterbilt is one of the most respected companies in the trucking industry. If you're ready for a comprehensive benefits package for paid vacations, a family work environment, and a chance to learn, grow, and advance in your field, then what are you waiting for? Call Fitzgerald Peterbilt now at 245-6500. That's 245-6500.
We get Montgomery talking 24 hours a day. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Joey Clark.
Oh, welcome back. You're listening to the Joey Clark Radio Hour. My guest this evening over the phone, Larry Reed, president of the Foundation for Economic Education. And I haven't told you this yet, Larry, but I once was Jesus Christ. I'm not making the same mistake John Lennon made. I played Jesus in Godspell in high school.
Oh, really? Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, I didn't expect this going in when I took on that role. It was some random day after football practice. They were having auditions. I'm like, well, why not? And they cast me as Jesus. But what I didn't expect was when you do those scenes, how much it affects you when you get into that mindset. And I thought they did a very good job in Godspell of recreating the lessons found throughout the Gospels and in Scriptures. But one thing you often hear from folks, and I think sometimes the bumper sticker logic gets to people, is socialism's just sharing. Socialism's just the golden rule. And Jesus was a socialist. And even, well, maybe he intuited socialism. And you, I think, this is like your grand slam in this book, The XYZs of Socialism. So when somebody says that to you, Jesus was a socialist, what say you?
Well, I say nothing could be further from the truth. There is not one single, even remote hint within the entire New Testament in any of his words, that he would be the slightest bit supportive of what socialism is all about. Never advocated for the forcible redistribution of wealth. He never advocated for state ownership of the means of production. He never advocated for the concentration of power. Jesus' message was a message for the heart. And I have a feeling that if he were to come back for the moment and approach Bernie Sanders today, he might say something like, you know, you're kind of like the Pharisees of my time, people who thought that they were keeping the word and thought they were the arbiters of it, but they were simply mouthing platitudes. And every time they did something, they wanted to do it at other people's expense. Just like you. And so there's no evidence whatever that Jesus would support socialism. He was all about a voluntary acceptance of eternal principles, not the use of political force to satisfy somebody's personal agenda, no matter how well-intentioned.
Well, and you see this even in his parables, like the parable of the talents. I mean, there's like basic, almost economic points we would make today with economic science that you're getting from Jesus himself.
Yeah, in the parable of the talents. Who's the hero of that very parable? It's the guy who took the talents, the money of the day, and put it to the greatest, most productive use. The one who came back having turned it, simply buried it, and not having generated any wealth with it. He's the villain. He's the one that in the parable that the money is taken from to give to the guy who had turned it into the greatest profitable investment. So Jesus was all for the voluntary creation of wealth. I can't believe that there's anything in the Bible that would suggest he would be in favor of the forcible redistribution of it.
But one note you address in the essay, though, when I hear this phrase I'm about to throw at you, I still think there are a lot of people who say, read even the basic, like the greatest hits of Jesus. Instead, they don't collect all the albums, they just have a greatest hits album.
Yeah.
You know, render under Caesar that which is Caesar's, render under God the things that are God's. To me, I kind of had a certain understanding of that, but don't people throw that out as, oh, see, you got to pay your taxes. You got to support the authority.
Oh, yeah, they take that sentence or two and turn it into all kinds of things. They read that, socialists do anyway, they read that as Jesus saying that, hey, anything that Caesar wants is his. No matter what he, how much of it that you generated that really belongs to you, no matter how much of it he wants, if he says it's his, give it to him because it is. That's not what Jesus was saying. In fact, remember the context. This was in response to the Pharisees who were trying to entrap him into saying something that could be construed as anti-Roman and causing the Roman authorities to come down on him. When he says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, he's making no commentary on what he thinks really does belong to Caesar's. To Caesar. I mean, you could say that and think in your mind that nothing belongs to him.
Right.
So therefore, you know, don't render anything to him. So that's a separate issue.
No, and it's a brilliant statement by Jesus.
Absolutely, it is. Yeah, kept him entirely true, and it's kept him out of trouble at that particular moment.
Well, and it's a common political tactic. I mean, but didn't Jesus say he came to uphold the law? And I think this is like putting the ball on the tee here. Anybody who's studied, I think, Christianity or Judaism, it's like, we're not talking about the government here, necessarily.
That's right. When he says the law, I mean, just imagine all the crazy laws that we've had, the worst of the crazy laws that we pass almost every day. Do you think he's saying that, if they pass it, if a bunch of legislators have passed it, therefore we not only shouldn't question that law, we should simply do whatever they tell us. He wasn't saying that at all.
No.
the law, I should point out, the law to him, to understand the proper context, you have to remember that he's referring to the Mosaic Law. And the core of the Mosaic Law are the Ten Commandments. And two of them directly address the matter of material wealth. One of them says, thou shalt not covet. In other words, if it doesn't belong to you, keep your eyes off of it. And then there's another one that says, thou shalt not steal. It doesn't say thou shalt not steal unless the other guy has more than you do, or thou shalt not steal unless you are really convinced you can spend it better than the guy who earned it. And it certainly doesn't say thou shalt not steal, but it's okay to hire a politician to do it for you.
Right, and as you point out in the essay, the Good Samaritan didn't go, oh, let me call DHR.
yeah, oh, you're in bad shape, let me call the welfare office, or here's the phone number, or the address to write your social worker. I mean, no, he was a Good Samaritan because he pitched in at that moment with his own resources and helped the guy in need. If he had done any of those other things, if he had done what socialists advocate today, by just remanding the guy to a government bureaucracy, we would not know him today as the Good Samaritan. We'd think of him as the good-for-nothing Samaritan.
And then you bring up in this essay a point we kind of touched on earlier about, you know, the Gordon Gekko, greed is good. Capitalists are just greedy fat pigs. I think it is very clear, and I often go out of my way to make the point, is that it is right to say the love of money for money's sake is the root of all evil. And maybe there are some other roots out there. It could be a giant, you know, web network of roots. But when you go for money for money's sake, greed on top of greed, that is not necessarily a capitalist position. I'd imagine somebody could in a free market be a greedy person. But the lesson stands on its own.
Yeah, Jesus and other Christians were saying at that time, and are still saying today, that don't worship money. That leads to all kinds of temptations and errors, and it corrupts the soul. But you don't have to worship money to desire a better living for yourself and your loved ones and for society at large. But it is the love of money, the inordinate desire to accumulate it at any cost, and irrespective of the rights of other people, that's what's evil. And yet, you know, it doesn't get. I think Jesus would say too. Look, don't use political connections to rig the market in your favor. That's dishonest. That's unfair. That's extraordinarily unchristian. So he would say, if you want money, well, go out there and do what a good Christian would do. Solve other people's problems with innovative products and services. They will reward you with money, and then don't worship it, but you know, rejoice in the fact that others have rewarded you for services rendered.
Well, and I think a love of money or a worship of money really comes from a misunderstanding of what money is. Now, I'm sure people who make a lot of it, unless they really are like the trust fund kid, which is quite the funny stereotype, I'm sure some people like that exist. But people who I think are gifted at making money understand money is just a device for creating more wealth. It's not the money itself. It's like, what am I doing for others, as you just pointed out? How am I creating value for other people that will return to me? It goes back to our larger discussion that I'm just baffled by this basic notion of, look at, say, Walmart with all their money. How are they allowed to have all that money? It's, well, they provide low-cost goods to millions of people.
Yeah, they didn't go rob a bank. They created something. They hired people. They took risks. They built things that didn't exist before they came along. They baked a bigger pie. They didn't simply grab a bigger slice of it for themselves.
Well, and I'm not trying to create a theological scandal here, but one of the things that you said after you put out this essay about Jesus being a socialist or not, that came out in 2015, so you revised it because some of your so-called progressive friends brought up Romans 13. And again, I'm not trying to create a theological scandal, but number one, that's not Jesus talking in Romans 13. I mean, I think Paul's very important to Christianity and much of what it's about. But Romans 13 is essentially Paul's urging submission to the governing authorities and warning against rebellion. I think you had a very learned response to this charge.
Yeah, a lot of people take that far beyond what Paul, who wrote those words, ever intended. They take it to mean that Paul is justifying a big government. You can also say, wait a minute, Paul wasn't taking a position at that moment on what form or size of government is better than another. He was saying, but focus on what's important in life, which is an inner renewal, an inner renaissance. I can't believe that Paul would say, because it's so incongruous with everything else he said and that Christ said, I can't believe he would say that it's never justified to resist or oppose government. I mean, if that were the case, if that were the Christian view, that whatever government says, you should do it and it's entirely legitimate, well, then there wouldn't be a Jesus, because Herod's order to slay the children that were born at that time, he was trying to, of course, liquidate the Messiah before he could ever become the Messiah. But if that were the case, you'd have to say, well, that order should be carried out, and it was perfectly justified because it came from the government.
Right.
That would be ridiculous.
It would be ridiculous. And to me, it almost applies to libertarians, how Paul is counseling Christians at that time. I would say to some, especially younger libertarians out there, say you're completely, and I flirt with this, it depends on my mood in the day, Larry, maybe that's not very principled of me. Say you're a full-blown anarchist, and you know, think you private provision of roads. Some private roads do exist. Anyway, you're a very hardcore libertarian, and I would advise those people, pay your taxes. And, yeah, if you need to drive on a government-funded road, go drive and find a job. Like, don't out of principle, hurt yourself and give an overwhelming power and authority the ability to ensnare you. Be smart about how you advance your cause.
Yeah, don't be oblivious to reality that's around you. In Paul's day, of course, the Romans had enormous control. And power in the in Palestine and in that region of the world. The Christians had no armies, and so for them to rise up at that moment and on behalf of their faith and try to overthrow the Roman regime was not Paul's first priority. I mean, he recognized, I'm sure, that would probably be self-defeating, and that the number one priority had to be the renewal of one's spirit, irrespective of the political context of the day. So you have to understand a lot of this stuff in the context of when it was written or when it was spoken. And at that time, Paul was speaking to early Christians in an environment in which they had to be constantly wary of being crushed by the Roman state.
So I think we've made it clear, Larry, that Jesus was not a socialist, and any attempts at that are a bit absurd. If not just uncharitable and outrageously a lie. But I want to end the show here. We only have about 5-6 minutes left. On a personal note, I start with a confession. I guess we're talking about Christianity. Let's begin. I was raised Catholic, so hear me, Father Larry.
Okay.
My confession is I feel very burnt out on politics, and not just the daily back and forth that you see in the news, but even like advancing the cause of liberty. Not that I don't believe in it anymore, but like I wanted to just take a break and go do other things in my life, go fishing, for lack of a better phrase. And I'm wondering, in your long career in advancing these ideas, have you ever had those moments in your life where you're like, I got to do something else to get my mind on something else?
Well, you can always talk me into to fishing. That's one of my great hobbies. But you could never dissuade me from a central focus on advancing liberty, because I think it's critical. It's you know, next to getting your spiritual life in order, there is nothing more important than that you live in freedom to be who you're meant to be, who you really are. I can't imagine life in the absence of liberty. In my mind, that would be simply unlivable, unthinkable. In places like North Korea, they probably come pretty close to that. And can you imagine, just based upon what we know of what life is like there, where the government is monitoring every move and circumscribing every desire unless it fits with their agenda for you. I can't imagine living in that kind of a situation. So it's worth fighting for. It's worth giving your life for. And so I've never allowed the, a bad turn of events or poor election results or whatever or anything like that slow me up, because liberty is just too important to give up. And I never want to give the other side the luxury of winning without a fight.
Amen to that. I think for me personally, it wasn't a disappointing election. Like this last election, I told my audience, and I got some blowback for it, but that's fine, that I would be politically celibate this time around. But I'll pay attention. I'll be following the news and advancing what I think is right or wrong, but I'm not going to be stumping for this or that candidate. It's an interesting game to play, and I might do it another election year. But I think for me it was personal tragedies in my life, and it kind of put things in perspective. And I'm starting to feel now like I'm revisiting the ideas of liberty. And the reason I asked you and brought this up with you is because, I mean, you have been giving speeches for the last three decades. I mean, what is it like when you see the light bulb go on, so to speak, with a young person or somebody who's maybe on the fringe of these ideas or a little blurry with their idea of where they are politically? What is it like to see somebody maybe inspired by something you say or maybe something you recommend to them, teach them? How fulfilling is that moment?
Oh, my gosh, there's nothing more exciting to me than that. And I've seen it happen many times, and I've had so many former students in years later come to me and say, you know, you changed my thinking, you changed my life, whatever. And that's a very humbling, at the same time, it's a very exhilarating thing. To make a difference in another person's life in a positive way is really extraordinarily fulfilling. I mean, you can't ask for much more than that. And so I'm very proud of the fact that in some way, small or large, depending on the person, I've made a difference by getting people to appreciate what they can do, what they can accomplish if they're free. I just think it's a thrill every time.
No, amen again. I'm saying that a lot tonight. And folks, again, my guest has been Larry Reed. He is the president of the Foundation for Economic Education. We've been talking mostly about the book, a compilation of essays, The XYZs of Socialism. You can find that at fee.org, F-E-E.org, and you can find it for free on Fee. It's a great collection, and I still have Real Heroes on my shelf, Larry. That is also another book people need to pick up, a very inspiring book with true stories from incredible people of the past. And I look forward, it's less than a month away, to FeeCon. I'm excited for that. I think it will help me bring back some of the zeal. The ideas are still there, the belief is still there. But I think my dark night of the soul, not to get too over the top with it, is it's coming to an end, and I'm ready to get out there again, and why not begin as we enter into FeeCon season.
Hey, that's great. And Joey, I have to say, we are thrilled and honored that you'll be coming not only as an attendee, but as one of the speakers on a panel. We're thrilled to have you.
I'm looking forward to it. And Larry, thank you so much for joining me tonight. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of the evening and rest of the week.
Thank you. Same to you, Joey.
Thank you. And folks, tomorrow night, we're doing a Geopolitics 101 of the Middle East. Dr. David Sorensen of the Air War College is going to be coming over here. And it's not necessarily going to be focused on one country in particular. We're going to be doing a broad stroke on who are the players in the Middle East, what are their different interests. Things are heating up there, to say the least, but they're always tending to boil over, aren't they? So thank you for listening. This has been the Joey Clark Radio Hour. So humbly named after myself, Joey Clark. Talk to y'all tomorrow night.